Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the 12th Sunday in Ordinary Time, 2009. A reading from the Book of Job. The Lord addressed Job out of the storm and said, "Who shut within doors the sea, when it burst forth from the womb, when I made the clouds its garment, and thick darkness its swaddling bands? When I set limits for it, and fastened the bar of its door, and said, 'Thus far you shall come, but no farther, and here shall your proud waves be stilled.'" The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Give thanks to the Lord, his love is everlasting.
Give thanks to the Lord, his love is everlasting.
They who sailed the sea in ships, trading on the deep waters, these saw the works of the Lord and his wonders in the abyss.
Give thanks to the Lord, his love is everlasting.
His command raised up a storm wind, which tossed its waves on high. They mounted up to heaven, they sank to the depths. Their hearts melted away in their plight.
Give thanks to the Lord, his love is everlasting.
They cried to the Lord in their distress. From their straits he rescued them. He hushed the storm to a gentle breeze, and the billows of the sea were stilled.
Give thanks to the Lord, his love is everlasting.
They rejoiced that they were calmed, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his kindness and his wondrous deeds to the children of men.
Give thanks to the Lord, his love is everlasting. A reading from the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, the love of Christ impels us. Once we have come to the conviction that one died for all, therefore all have died. He indeed died for all, so that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. Consequently, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even if we once knew Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him so no longer. So whoever is in Christ is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. On that day, as evening drew on, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us cross to the other side." Leaving the crowd, they took Jesus with them in the boat just as he was. And other boats were with him. A violent squall came up, and waves were breaking over the boat, so that it was already filling up. Jesus was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. They woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Quiet, be still." The wind ceased, and there was great calm. Then he asked them, "Why are you terrified? Do you not yet have faith?" They were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this whom every wind and sea obey?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Hello and welcome to your Sunday Reader. I'm Father Brian and I'm here today with Dawn.
Hello, everyone.
And we're talking about some of these readings and have some different things have come up in our conversation as we were talking briefly before the podcast. Dawn, one of the things that you mentioned that I actually find interesting, and I talked about it as well, is you were talking about Psalm 107 mm-hmm. and how it kind of struck you new that you didn't remember it from before. And I was thinking about that because as a priest and as a deacon seminarian, we read these prayers called the Liturgy of the Hours, and we go through all the Psalms on a four-week cycle. So every 4 weeks, we go through all of the Psalms. And there's many times when I'll be in the middle of a Psalm and say, "I don't think I've ever read this before. Like, where did this come from? I don't know if God is changing the Psalms and changing them in my four-volume breviary there. But it seems that way. But it is amazing, I think, sometimes how when we approach Scripture, there's always the stories that we're all familiar with. I don't think anybody gets surprised by what happens at the, crucifixion and say, "Oh my goodness, he rose from the dead." But but there's also times when we read things that have been in our cycle of readings or that we've probably heard many times and either not notice them, or they strike us anew, or we say, gee, I just don't remember hearing this before.
I was just talking with Father Mark about that last week, about how you'll read a scripture, and it'll mean one thing to you. It'll be very meaningful at a point in your life, and then like 2 years later, you'll read the same exact scripture, and how it means something totally different, and how it sort of reminded me about in today's second readings when they say something, we're doing something new. Oh, Christ is a new creation. No, I don't remember. But
whoever
anyhow,
is in Christ is
something was that was said in that made me think of that conversation and doing something new and how powerful that is. And, you know, you read a regular book and you could read it the same time or it's twice. And usually it means pretty much the same thing. But scripture, it's always something new and different.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's true because it's always transforming us and changing our
That's
lives.
That's exactly it.
And sometimes, you know, there are times, and part of the reason we have many readings in our Mass is not every reading will speak to everybody every time you hear it. So there might have been times when you've heard Psalm 107 and it didn't have the meaning or something. And so, you know, the gospel that day might have had a real powerful meaning or something like that. Speaking of the gospel, like that transition there.
Nice, very nice.
One of the things that I pulled out of this was this issue of, there are a couple things actually, one being the issue of fear. And I think that's a real powerful issue in our own society. And Jesus, of course, asked the question to the disciples, why are you terrified? Do you not yet have faith? And I think that that's something that probably I struggle with, and I'm assuming I'm probably not the only one listening to this podcast, maybe not the only one in this room who struggles with the issue of fear at times, because a lot of times that can be something that's overwhelming. We see all the problems that are in our world, or that even in a particular challenge or in a particular, you know, ministry for you or for me, or work situation for anybody, we see the problems that, that can come up and become fearful. And one of the things about the gospel is what we are taught or told is not to be afraid, you know, right. Be not afraid. That was John Paul II's message when he was made Pope, be not afraid. And that really is a transformative thing if we can get to the point where we can actually do that, where we can say we trust in God enough to give control of our lives over to him and not try to control it ourselves. Too often, you know, we do the opposite. We try to control things ourselves, and then we become terrified because all these things that we see as problems could potentially be problems for us. But if we are able to give our lives to God, they're not problems for God. You know, the things that we find problematic, God can take care of, you know, and no, without any problems, and almost jokingly so. but it is hard for us to give that over to God.
Just yesterday, I was talking with some of the teenagers that go to Canandaigua Academy, and this week it's Regents Week, and they've had all different rules in place. They can't bring in backpacks. Even their lunches were being searched, and because there's been
no candy bars.
No. There's been lots of threats this week, and the potential for violence, and so we got it under the discussion. What do you think next year will have to be? Will there be extra police there? Will there be metal detectors? And I pointed out that we can live in fear the whole time, but that just ends up almost us having to live in a police state. Not that we shouldn't be prepared and be conscious of what's going on, but at some point we have to trust that God will take care of us, that he's put people in place that are watching out for our well-being. And so I definitely wouldn't want to be part of the school system having to decide what to do for next year or even for the rest of this week. But it's all about that fear when we choose to let fear run our lives versus trusting in God.
Yeah. And you see it in one of the things I mentioned to you before the podcast, one of the lines that really jumped out to me is, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Sometimes that fear that we have is even the fear that God has abandoned us or doesn't care or doesn't understand the problems or something like that. As if, you know, we can see it clearly, but God doesn't really see what's going on. Do you not care that we are perishing? But there's an issue of trust that we have to say is do we trust God to know in that he does care? Do we trust that God cares for us? and cares for us to the extent that he's not going to let us perish, even if it might seem that way. Certainly, for me, one of the things that where this came up recently was when talking to some of the news media about my ordination. One of the things that the news focused on a little bit was it's the last ordination in the diocese for 4 years. And they said, how do you handle that? And the response I had to say is that, you know, I trust the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit said that he wasn't going to let the church go away, that he was going to be with the church, guiding the church, and that the church will continue. We're not going to perish. But there can, a lot of times, there are other times when I look and I say, oh my goodness, you know, what have I gotten into? Like, there's nobody young. Where are all the young people? And as the priests tend to age and everything, you sit here and say, am I going to be left running this diocese with John Lonkel and Bill Coffus and the and Juan or something, you know, the four or five of us having to split up the 12 counties? And if so, I've called Monroe County. But there is that question that does come up of fear, saying you can let that run your life and, you know, ultimately that becomes the practice out of which you work. Or you can say, I'm not in control here. I'm going to trust God knows what he's doing. And I'm not going to be afraid because I'm confident in God. And I'm confident he's not going to just let us perish. He might not do things the way I would like them done or even the way I envision them being done. But I have to trust that he knows better than I do.
And that's rough, you know, in our human existence. We want proof before we, you know, go into any new venture. If you're going to invest money, you want proof that you'll get it back or different things. And especially when it comes to faith, you can see evidence, but there's nowhere that they're going to hand you a prospectus and say, here, this is this is the proof that you will blah, blah, blah. But I guess that comes on the other side, or it comes with fear, and it feeds into that, oh, you can't do this unless you have proof it's going to work. You can't trust that God will really do it. You need to have a backup plan that, you know, will work or something like that. Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. You mentioned the thing about the prospectus and things. I'm thinking about when you get these things from mutual funds or any kind of stock things, they always say in fine print, you know, past performance does not guarantee future success or future results. What's interesting about our church life is past performance does actually, is what indeed does do that. And in a sense, that is the proof. That's, you would think that that's more solid than them saying, this is what we've done in the past, and this is, we're guessing this might be what you'll make. Whereas with God, it's, no, this is what's been done for you already, and it's a guarantee. It's a done deal. It's been done for you. You've put your trust in me, and you will be saved. And a lot of times, that's not enough for us. We want some other kind of...
We want to be able to see it, set our eyes on something. I don't know what it is, why we are so screwed up as humans. At least I am.
Well, I think all of us are in some sense. And it is the element of sin, and it's the element of the fact that, do we trust God? That's what it comes down to, is this is what God has done for us, and he's saying that because I've done this, I guarantee you this. Do you trust him at his word? Or, you know, when we're willing to trust a mutual fund company that says, you know, hey, this is what we've done, but we're not guaranteeing anything here. You know, yet we give them all of our money, our life savings. Oh, here, this is what you've done in the past. Here, take my life savings, and hopefully it'll be there. But with God, we tend to be a little more reluctant to hand that kind of control over.
Oh, my goodness, it's really weird.
It is. It is indeed. But I think that that's kind of the challenge of our faith, is to say, place my trust in God and not be ruled by fear.
Right.
And I think ultimately, I mean, we have to say that fear is the work of the evil one in our world. It's the work of sin that's put us where we don't trust God. I mean, it's the whole part of original sin is, you know, I don't trust God, so I want to be like God so that I can make sure God is, you know, doing the right things. I want that knowledge of good and evil or something. But that's not what we're created for. We're created to put our trust in God.
Couldn't I be created for something easier?
But anyway, Dawn, we are coming to the end of our podcast. So thank everyone for joining us this week. Hopefully everybody is able to put a little more trust in God and maybe a little less trust in ourselves. as we do that. And hopefully they'll be back next week to join us on your Sunday Reader. Have a good week. God bless.